The verse just read, Proverbs 19 and verse 11, talks about discretion. Another word for discretion might be good sense or good judgment. The wise man said, if a person has good sense, if a person has good judgment or discretion, he is slow to anger. A lot of people, some of whom are religious, some of whom are not, would look at that passage and say, yes, that's a truism, that makes sense. After that truism, though, Solomon says something else which some people may not be so sure about. In the second part of Proverbs 19 and verse 11, the text says, it is glory. Or I might use the word commendable. It is sometimes commendable. It is sometimes desirable. It is sometimes wise to do what? The rest of the verse says to overlook an offense. About 200 years ago, there was a man who was writing a commentary on Proverbs. As he came to Proverbs 19 verse 11, he wrote these words. This was his conclusion. Forbearance and forgiveness will therefore take the place of resentment and malice. Once again, forbearance and forgiveness will therefore take the place of resentment and malice. This morning we want to deal with the subject of forgiveness. We talked about this last week. We want to deal with it again this morning. And then after the potluck, we want to deal with it a third and final time. My primary texts are Matthew 19, verse 11. And if you've had a chance to look at the outline sheet, you know that I'm also going to be pulling from Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to, in just a moment, read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. This will be the entirety of the so-called model prayer by Jesus. But we want to focus in on just a small part of Matthew 6. Jesus has some things to say about forgiveness, and even though there's multiple points there, we just want to focus in on the latter part of Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. If you found Matthew 6, let's start with verse 9 and read down through verse 15. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if ye forgive men your trespasses, or their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now as you look at Matthew 6, especially keying in on Matthew 6, verse 12, the latter part of the verse, the final few words there say, as we have also forgiven our debtors. As we go through life, regardless of who we are, we will have some times where we are offended. There will be some occasions where people will upset us. There will be some periods where people hurt us. Or, unless you have no feelings whatsoever, there will be times when our feelings are damaged. If you're going to stay for the potluck, maybe you fix some food. And maybe you go up to someone who is eating the food and say, what do you think? Is it good? It's a new dish. Oh, it's awful. It's terrible. Don't bring that again. Well, were that to happen to someone, I suspect that the person who made the food is probably not going to say, oh, you made my day. Thank you very much. After experiencing some form of ill treatment, we may as individuals feel like we are owed an apology. If it's the case that somehow we have really been mistreated, maybe we feel like one apology is not enough. Perhaps we feel like we deserve multiple apologies. Or it may be if the damage were especially severe. Maybe it's our conclusion that we don't deserve a private apology, we deserve a public apology. And maybe we feel like the public offender needs to pay and pay a lot. Maybe we want the offending party to pay, and not just pay once or twice. But we want that offender, because of how we were handled, how we were dealt with, we want that offender to pay for a long, long time. John F. Kennedy Jr. is credited with saying, forgive them, yes, but don't forget their name and address. Is that what we find in the scriptures? Last week, if you were present last Sunday morning, we studied forgiveness, and I pointed out how, as you look at that word, especially as it describes forgiveness between God and man, in its truest, in its fullest, in its perfect form, forgiveness means the restoration of fellowship. A relationship is restored. A fracture, a damaged relationship, is repaired to the point where it looks like the offense never occurred. If you were to go back, it's like cleaning up a black mark. You can't tell that the black mark was ever there. We noticed how God described that in terms of, God said, I'll take your sins and I'll put them behind your back. Or in another passage, God said, I'm going to trample your sins under my feet. Or I'm going to cast them into the depths of the sea. So when we think about forgiveness in the purest, in the ultimate form, It is the coming together. It is the perfect restoration. The effects, the consequences, the memories of the wrongs are gone. As we think about the subject of forgiveness, though, we find that there are times, there are occasions where it is simply not possible to restore a relationship. What about those times? What about those periods? If you turn to Matthew chapter 6 and you've kept your finger open, let's back up a chapter. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 5, same sermon, and now pulling from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verses 39 through 44, and see what Jesus says there. But I say unto you, resist not him that is evil, but whosoever smiteth thee in the right cheek, turn to him also the other also. And if any man would go to law with thee, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him too. Verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for them that persecute you. Jesus knew, and he said that his people would have enemies. The Lord also promised that at the hands of enemies, his people would suffer in various ways. Now in verse 44, you do not find the word forgiveness. At least I'm not aware of any translation which uses the word forgiveness there. But in verse 44, you do find two key words. Jesus said, when it comes to enemies, you love your enemies. He said, when it comes to your enemies, you not only love your enemies, but you pray for your enemies. As you look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, you can see a connection between it and Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. When we're dealing with an enemy, there may be a time where we need to pass over a transgression. Now, in this lesson, I'm not affirming, and I certainly do not believe that we should never talk about forgiveness. I'm not also trying to convey that there are some times where forgiveness should never be extended or discussed. I know that's not true because of what Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 3. There the Lord said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother sin, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. So when we think about forgiveness, yes, it does need to be discussed. Yes, there are times where people need to be forgiven. Yes, there are times when people do need to apologize. But balanced with Luke 17, verse 3, is the information that we have in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. Not long ago, I was in the library. And while I was in the library, I went there for a specific reason. I was looking for a form. And the form wasn't available in the area where I was looking, so I asked the librarian, I said, do you have this form? And she said, well, wait a minute. And I thought the wait a minute meant that she was going to possibly pull the form from a different area. And as I waited for a couple minutes, it finally became clear that she decided that she was going to go to her computer and access the form there and get it for me. Well, I had some other options that would have been a lot better. She printed it in black and white. I wanted the color version of the form. And I had some other options to get the form. But I figured we're 2 or 3 minutes into this, and she looks like she really wants to help. So I will just keep my mouth shut, and I'll let her continue what she started and take away the form, and she's happy, and it'll all work out. So she goes through all the rigmarole. She prints off the form, and she comes back with the form smiling, and she says, now, sir, that'll be 30 cents. I thought, doesn't that take the cake? I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be understanding and compassionate with this woman, and now I get billed. I started to dig around in my pocket for 30 cents. And as she noticed that I didn't have the 30 cents handy, I didn't want to break a dollar bill, she just waved me off and she said, well, that's okay. You'll probably get back to this library sometime and you just pay the 30 cents if you get back. You see, there are some times where Proverbs 19:11 is true. You simply let it go. You forgive the debt. It's not a big deal. She didn't want my driver's license. She didn't want to fingerprint me. She didn't want to take down my name and address. She was willing to overlook the matter. Not too long ago on Facebook, there was a significant discussion on forgiveness. Now, I'm not generally prone to wading in a lot of the discussions on Facebook, but this one interested me. And I thought, okay, I've seen a lengthy thread there, so I will enter the fray. And in this discussion, there was a lot of attention given to Luke chapter 17, verse 3. A fellow who I believe is a preacher took Luke 17, 3, take heed yourselves, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. A lot of attention was given to that if he repents. The preacher was affirming, if he doesn't repent, then you can't forgive him. So I said, well, I'd like somebody to comment on a couple of verses. The first verse that I added on my post was Jesus' words in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. In this passage, the Lord said, and whensoever ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Now, I don't know about you, but as I look at Mark 11, verse 25, that verse to me sounds like it's pretty comprehensive. Jesus said, whensoever you pray. That sounds pretty often. And then he said, if you have aught against any. He said, then in those circumstances, you forgive them. What if an offender is not sorry, Jesus? What if the injury was really bad? What if I have been hurt by a habitual offender? Listen again to Jesus' words, Mark 11, verse 25. He said, whensoever you pray, forgive. No one apparently wanted to touch that text. Bearing that in mind, before I made the post, I thought I'm going to include a second passage. My second reference came from the book of Luke chapter 11, verse 4. And Jesus said here, for we ourselves also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Jesus taught we forgive the people who are indebted to us. That also sounds pretty comprehensive. Yet when it comes to forgiveness, we find that individuals sometimes will come up with various rules and all kinds of conditions and restrictions. When we look at forgiveness from a biblical aspect, there are, as far as I can tell, two aspects to it. In the fullest sense, as I said earlier and as I pointed out last week, forgiveness means the restoration of a relationship. Something was broken. That relationship has been fractured. There has been a serious tear in the relationship. And forgiveness in the fullest sense means that has been completely eliminated. We look at it and it's like everything has been perfectly glued back together. It looks like there was never a problem. Now, if that's always your definition for forgiveness, it seems to me that you have a little bit of a problem. Sometimes a person dies. And as a person thinks about the individual that has passed on, they say, well, I'm still holding on to some hard feelings. How are you going to forgive the person? How are you going to restore the relationship with the dead? You can't do it. So if there is not a second sense when it comes to forgiveness, there is no way to forgive, quote unquote, someone who has left this life. As you look at forgiveness, it also has to include, and maybe this isn't the primary meaning or sense, but forgiveness also has to include the idea that we're not going to have bitter feelings, that we're not going to have resentment, that we're not going to have feelings like malice towards another individual. And that can be done. When a person is like Matthew 5, they're an enemy, and they're not going to restore the relationship. Or that can be done when a person has died. We can't talk to them any longer. We can't go back and sort things out. But we can, in those cases, let the dead bury the dead, to use Jesus' words. And that's how we can tie together Luke 17:3, Mark 11:25, and Luke chapter 11, verse 4. We eliminate those feelings of bitterness. Someone says, well, okay, that sounds like it's on the right track. But could you put a little more information from the scriptures with that to help cement that thinking in my mind? Yes, I can. You may remember that in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul has some things to say about love. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, as Paul enumerates some of the characteristics associated with love, he says in 1 Corinthians 13, 5, love does not take account of evil. Now, if you were to study that expression in detail, you would find a variety of descriptions for it, and here's one that I like. One source said, love voluntarily passes the sponge over what it endures. Now, think about that once again. If you have love, Paul says, when it comes to those wrongs, when it comes to some of the mistreatment, perhaps by your enemies, perhaps by someone who's died, love voluntarily, doesn't have to be forced, there's no coercion, voluntarily passes the sponge over what it endures. Then this too. As Paul describes that characteristic of love, he uses the present tense in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Now, some use the present tense to continually think about all the evil, to call to mind all the hurts, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. People think about how they were injured by another person. The first thing when they see a person's face, the first thing that comes to mind is, you hurt me, you injured me, and you've not apologized. I've not forgiven you. Paul told the Corinthians, he specifically told the Corinthians, do not take account of evil. We've already seen from the scripture reading, Proverbs 19, verse 11, there is some glory in learning to overlook an offense. Now, that doesn't mean that that's the right course of action every time, but it does mean that that is the course of action that's right, at least in some occasions. It's also a course of action which is not what we find in the world. As you look at the unsaved people you know, as you look at the unsaved people that are sometimes featured prominently in society, do you not find that the world loves to keep track of injuries? Do we not find that the unsaved like to hold on to the insults that they've received and the hurts? Our society right now, more than perhaps within the last 100 years, we find more and more demands for apologies. Daily, literally daily, people are screaming about the need for an apology because they were offended. The unsaved make it clear that they may not be in the mood to forgive. They're not in the mood to offer any kind of reconciliation. When a person becomes a Christian, 1 Corinthians 13:5, Matthew 6, Mark 11:25, Luke chapter 11, verse 4, that ledger book that used to keep a record of all the wrongs, that book needs to be burned. As I said earlier, there are some times where there are cases, circumstances, situations, wrongs that need to be discussed and they need to be addressed. And I can't come up with a list and say, well, this falls into this category and this falls into the other category. But I can say with confidence, with God's backing, that as a Christian, our attitude towards forgiveness needs to shift. And it needs to shift a lot after we become a Christian. In the New Testament, forgiving others is joined or linked with being forgiven by God. In other words, if we have been forgiven by God, if God has cleansed us from our transgressions, as we discussed last week, then we have an obligation to show grace, mercy, and kindness to others. When we begin to think about forgiveness, if we look at how forgiveness is processed by people, we begin to find some unusual or strange truths. For instance, we may be badly hurt by another individual, and in the majority of cases, if that happens, we probably think that the other guy or the other gal, the other people, they knew exactly what they did. But there's a funny thing when it comes to forgiveness. The person that we think knows exactly what he or she or they did, oftentimes, truth be told, they have no idea that they did any injury. Oh, we might think they know exactly what they did, but that person is absolutely clueless in many cases. And we wait perhaps for the offender to apologize. We're thinking, well, he didn't get around to it today or tomorrow. And a week's gone by, a month has gone by. And when is he, when is she, when are they going to figure it out? And maybe the longer that we wait for an apology, the more upset we get. If we could change places with the offender, we'd probably realize that the person had no clue that they did something wrong or did something to offend us. We may take offense sometimes at matters and expect forgiveness for something which was never designed to be offensive. There's another strange point when it comes to forgiveness, and that is people seem to have, in general, Christian or not, a desire, a penchant for wanting to share all the wrongs, all the details. If we ever forgive someone of something, let me encourage you to not go and share that information with a third party. Some will reconcile with an offender, and that reconciliation would be perfectly fine. And then they'll go out and tell their good friend, hey, guess what? I just forgave so-and-so. This is what they did. And I was willing to forgive them. What did we find last week when it comes to forgiveness? It is reconciliation. It is not just burying the hatchet, but it's burying the whole thing. If forgiveness occurs, it's case closed. The file's been put in the file cabinet, and it's been locked away. Don't make forgiveness a topic of conversation with a third party. I would also, as we think about forgiveness in terms of what the Bible says, would encourage you to take care in discussing forgiveness with someone who falls into the offender category. Let's take a quick example. Imagine having a conversation with someone who has inflicted some type of harm on us. And our offender, sooner or later, whatever the day may be, our offender one day comes to us and sincerely apologizes. I hurt you, I damaged you, I injured you, and I am so sorry. Once that apology has been given, it's our chance to speak. If someone asks us for forgiveness at some point, let me encourage you to limit your response to three words. I forgive you. And then don't say anything else. That's all that needs to be said. But people being people, after a person has said, I'm so sorry, I messed up, after we say, well, I forgive you, there can be a temptation to offer a mini lecture. And if you've never heard that mini lecture, it goes something like this. I forgive you, but, and here it comes. I want you to know how badly you hurt me. Nobody has ever said anything that unkind to me. You sure waited a long time to apologize. I forgive you this time. But next time, I might not be so gracious. I hope you've learned your lesson. It sure took you long enough to come and ask for forgiveness. I was about ready to give up on you. If a person apologizes, accept the apology. Close the case. Move on. Extending forgiveness to someone does not mean that we have the right to stick the knife in an individual and then start doing some twisting. That's not how we'd want to be treated, and that's not how we want to treat others. One of the items which really separates Christians from non-Christians is how we deal with the subject of forgiveness. Sometimes relationships are broken, and sometimes forgiveness needs to be practiced in that kind of way. Frank discussions about forgiveness need to be given. A lot of what people think needs to be formally acknowledged or dealt with in terms of forgiveness, again, it may be simply unknown to the offender. And we also find that when it comes to forgiveness, a lot of people, what people want or demand forgiveness for, it's really pettiness. It should be like that sponge which passes over us. In this afternoon's lesson, we're going to look at that in more detail. But today, is there someone that we should have forgiven? And not only is there someone that we should have forgiven, but we should have forgiven them long ago. But for whatever reason, we've held on to that grudge. If that's true, today is a good day to make good on what we need to do. If we receive great mercy from God, and each person who has become a Christian has, we need to extend that to others. And if we do not need to forgive someone, does God need to forgive us? Either as a Christian who's gotten off the right track, or as a person who's never become a Christian, we're still in our sins, and we need to be forgiven by God. If we can help you in a public way, think about how we can aid you, especially in terms of forgiveness, as we stand and sing the selected song.